World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good 7:30, 2024 morning to you all. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I was up meditating. It sounds like an Eastern religion, doesn't it? I was up there kind of meditating, praying as I was getting ready to do the show today. And wondered why our prayers aren't more effectual. And do we really understand praying? They tell us that the weapons of our warfare are not. They tell us what they're not. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, right? What does it even mean? What is a stronghold? How come you could go to church your whole life? Or at least we ought to start marking this down, those of you who still are going to a local church. Mark down how many training sessions you've had in your church on spiritual warfare. Any class that you've had in your church where somebody teaches people Ephesians, what we just read there. Was that Ephesians or maybe that's Corinthians, whatever. Casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The reason I say that is because, let me back up a second. I'm going to give somebody a job right now. I don't know who it is. And you can contact me later. Say, Coach, I'll do that job. You know what we need? One of the things we need is we need a prayer coordinator here in the queue. We need someone who can, we can shoot out an email, say, hey, pray for this and pray for that and all the kind of stuff. Because it seems to me a lot of times the stuff that gets prayed for is the stuff that I okay. Well, I just okay because somebody sends it to me and I said, sure. But I can't imagine right now how many people are sitting out there who have great prayer needs. And really, are you surrounded with anybody that's praying for you? Remember, the Bible tells us that whether two or more are gathered, he's in our midst. And as we think this thing through, and I got a couple prayer requests here this morning. How come I get to talk about my prayer request, but you don't get to talk about yours? I'm not trying to take advantage of it. Say my prayer requests are bigger than yours. No. So maybe somebody out there say, yeah, you know, Coach, that's good. I'll head that thing up. And what if we sent out an email every day and said, here are the prayer needs today. Here are the prayer needs. Do we believe in power prayer? And here's why I say that. Today's a big day for us. And I would ask, maybe some of you out there could over today and tomorrow, fast a meal and pray for our son, Zach, who today is going to take the bar exam. It's been an unbelievable struggle for him. Everything that he has been through 20 years. And he went last night to a hotel. He's getting up this morning, going to go to to the bar where the bar is being administered. He's got to stay overnight down there, take the second part of it tomorrow. And just like so many things you think about, and you guys could do this in your own families, man, there's an unbelievable call on his life. And it has just been blocked in everywhere you turn. That call on that guy's life. He's 40, I don't know how old, he's a man. And he's just, there's a call on his life. And it's been blocked. Now, I often say this. Use that excuse. We know the truth. And many of the people that you're dealing with in your family and things that are going on in your family, you look at your children, you look at your spouse, whatever it might be, and you know they know better. You know they know better. Why are they doing that? Why is it? Is there a spiritual component to it? Is it really a spiritual war going on that we're not aware of? Are there really generational curses? I'm just asking, folks. And here I sit here at 71 years old. Yeah, Janine, free will, no doubt about free will. But I sit here and sometimes I look around and say, man, that guy's cursed. Anybody ever feel that way out there? Man, that guy seems to be cursed. And then you look at other people, everything they touch turns to gold, and everything this guy touches turns to malarkey. What is going on? Spiritual warfare, do we really understand it? Has spiritual warfare become synonymous with charismaniac and all the stuff of speaking in tongues and all? And just really, when the Bible's so clear, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what are the strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it in captivity to the obedience of Christ. Were they just looking for filler space in the Bible when they put that in there? Really? They just, how about writing, St. Paul, how about writing a little bit of stuff over that spiritual stuff? We need a little bit of that. Is that what it was? Or is that stuff real? Is it real? Is there really a spirit realm, a demonic realm? Is there really a place where demons and angels are fighting against each other? Is there really a spiritual war? Is there a heavenly realm, a spiritual realm? I don't know. I mean, the Bible teaches it. Right up here, Spencer, it's unbelievable. That's what I want to throw up there today. Casting down imaginations. What? Hey, Spencer, go to Webster. What's an imagination? Imagination. The power or faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas of things communicated by the organs of sense. Simple apprehension, blah, 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 blah. So an imagination is things, an image created in your mind. Because it's not really an image, right? It's not really an image. You don't really see it, but yet you do see it. You do see it. And images come in the form of spiritual attacks. I'm not telling stories out of school here. That's one of the greatest things that my wife wars against, is fear and worry. How many of you out there commit, Coach, I worry a lot. Man, I worry a lot. In fact, Coach, when I'm thinking about something, I'm always expecting the worst. And every out there like that, you don't have to raise your hand. But it is, right? Well, that's an imagination. That's an imagination. Like I can remember when Michelle and I used to go to, when our kids were playing baseball, our daughters both played, where our kids all played college sports, and Abby and Maggie, when they were getting ready to go to bat, my wife would get so nervous that they might make an out. And I would say, man, stop thinking that way, man. Clean up your head. She might hit a home run. Quit doing that. You're worrying so much, it's stealing the joy. In fact, by the way, a lot of times, that's all the enemy can do, is just steal your joy. He's not going to be, in a lot of instances, he's not going to prevent the outcome. He's just going to make you have a miserable trip when you get there. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Yet we have to understand that we're casting down imaginations. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Why? Because of thoughts. Where do thoughts come? And it says, taking captive every thought. What? Taking captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is deep, isn't it? Isn't it really kind of sad? You think of the world we live in, the culture we live in. We look at what's going on in the Olympics, and I haven't spoken much about that because that's all demonic. That stuff is all demonic. We know it is, right? And to see that this openly demonic ritual is being broadcast into the homes of Christians, while Americans in general, but Christians and the average Christian having no idea that they're watching a dark spiritual, what would you call it, worship service, piped right into their homes, Super Bowl halftime shows, all this stuff, right? Does the church talk about that? Do they talk about that at all in your church? I'd say probably not. And I feel really, really bad because, you know, I think it's simple. But I have to be honest with you, I do. I don't know if I'm very good at spiritual warfare. So I want to talk to you a little bit about our weapons of warfare, get a chance to get there in a minute. If you wonder where we're going, that's what I want to talk about. Because I know 90%, probably more, 95% of you out there are really dealing with spiritual issues. So I started talking about our son who's taking the bar today. And I would just pray if some of you out there would say, Coach, I'll fast a meal today on behalf of Zach. Because the Bible says this prayer, this kind comes out. This kind. Where is that, Spencer? Look that up. Look that up. This kind comes out only with prayer and fasting. See if you can find that. Does anybody know where that is? Kind. This kind? This kind comes out only with prayer and fasting. Combination of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. This kind? Huh? And Jesus took him by the hand. Where is this, Spencer? I don't see what the reference. Mark 9. let's start back a little bit more. Hang on. Go the other way back. Go down. Let's try to get the. Bear with me here. And go up a little bit more. Go to about 20. Okay. And they brought unto him. When they saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. Oh, man, let's go 19. This is so good, folks. We don't talk about this. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? So why do you question this? And one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I brought unto thee my son. He hath a dumb spirit. What? Now, dumb doesn't mean stupid. Dumb means the inability to speak. Communicate is deaf and dumb. The ability to speak. My son's not able to speak. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they couldn't do it. Jesus answered him and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Folks, ooh, man, I felt that. Wow. Can we take him to Jesus today? Was Jesus talking about simply a physical thing? Bring him here? Bring him here? Are we able today to take him to him? Are we able to do that? Those of you who are dealing with wayward sons and wayward spouses and wayward friends, and are you taking it to him? Are you daily taking it to him? And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. What do you mean the spirit? What? Spirit? Really a spirit that tore him? And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. By the way, not all spirits make you foam, wallow on the ground. And he asked his father, how long has this dude been acting like this? And he said, well, ever since he's little. It's always been like that. He said, it's even worse than that. Sometimes they cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Oh, man. Folks, that could be physical or that could be spiritual, getting cast into the fire and into the waters. Are any of your children being cast into the fire, into the waters? Do you find yourself constantly trying to rescue your child out of the fire and out of the water? And they cast him into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, hey, dude. Problem ain't me. Problem's you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Right now, Lord Jesus, I ask for a spirit and an anointing to fall on Zach as he goes to take that test, Lord Jesus. His mind will be sharp and is clear. He won't be distracted. And Father, you will supernaturally bring answers to him on that test, Lord. so to keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. We loose those angels on his behalf in Jesus' name. And straightway the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Boy, I'd preach, wouldn't it? Huh? How many of you are praying unbelief? Do you listen to yourself pray? And are you praying in faith or are you praying in complaint? Because he just said without faith, it's impossible. Look, folks, do not rehearse your problems to the Lord. He knows what they are. Don't tell him, oh, Jimmy's doing this and Jimmy. He knows that. Speak life into Jimmy. Every time you think of Jimmy, speak life. Pray life into Jimmy. Don't repeat. Complaining to God is not prayer. When Jesus saw that the people came running to him, he rebuked the foul spirit. There's another spirit. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you deaf, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter him no more. Wow. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. He came out of him and was as one dead. And so much that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. And when he's coming to the house, his disciples said to him privately, how'd you do that, Willis? How'd you do that? And he said, this kind. You mean there are different kinds? This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Mm. Do you fast much, folks? You fast? Maybe we ought to do a show on that. I've done a couple 40-day fasts in my life. I could tell you a story. I could tell you a real. When I was being sued by the American, I'm going to tell you the story. Hang on. Back in 1999, when I was, before I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union at London, I walked into, I didn't even know that I was about to be fired. I didn't even know that. And, well, I wasn't fired. The idea of non-renewal, I didn't know that. And I walked into the office in the school, everybody has a mailbox. And I walked into the office in the mailbox, and I reached up in my mailbox, and I pulled something out. Somebody put something in my mailbox. I don't know who it was, still don't know who it was. Reached up and pulled out of the mailbox, and I looked at the book, and it said, are you ready? The power of the 40-day fast. That's what it said on that book. And I can remember standing there and I said, oh my Lord, no. 40 days. 40 days. I couldn't get away from it. So I went home, told Michelle, I'm going to fast. She said, how long? I said, because I'd take a couple days fast every now and then. I said, I think 40 days. And she about fell over, as you can probably imagine. Long story short, I went through a 40-day fast. When the 40-day fast was over and I broke it, it was on a Sunday. And we went to church and I was in church. The Holy Spirit said to me, you were delivered in the midst of your fast. Never forget it. That was at the beginning of the whole endeavor with the ACLU, all that stuff. The Lord put me on a 40-day fast before the problem even hit. So I've become a real believer in fasting and prayer, a real believer. Listen, folks, if you're not praying when you're fasting, you're just on a diet. And fasting and prayer sharpens your spirit, man. Makes your spirit man. See, the two, just bear with me here a second. The two most powerful things that a man has is the desire to eat and the desire to reproduce. Those are his two greatest desires. And if you can control your desire to eat and your desire to sleep with your wife and say no to both of those, you will develop unbelievable spiritual strength over those two things. I say that to you because I'm just being prompted by the Lord today that a lot of you out there, there's something that you're fighting with that you need to fast over. You need to, by the way, you don't score brownie points by going longer. When I go on a fast, which by the way, I'm on one right now. When I go on a fast, I don't say how long the fast is going to be. I just go on the fast and the Holy Spirit tells me when it's time, when it's over. It's okay. Because it told us right there that these kinds come out only with prayer and fasting. Or should I say fasting and prayer? I don't know why the Lord led me here today, but I think this is really, really critical. I think we don't really understand. Bear with me here. Point number five. I'm going to give you two scriptures here. Maybe you have number five up. I don't know what you have. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. But boys and girls, we walk in the flesh, but our flesh doesn't control us. Are you looking at me? You don't have to eat that food. You don't have to. You don't have to look at that image. You don't have to say that. That is fleshly, and we don't walk according to the flesh. Huh? Because we don't war after the flesh. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. Our battle's against what? For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? What is a stronghold? I know people right here in the queue who their default, when I'm with them, I know a lot of people in here. Don't ask me to say who. I know what their default emotional response is. Some people it's anger. Some people it's tears. Some people it's lack of hope. I know their default position. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know if I say this to some people, this is going to be their reaction. That is carnal, but I believe also spiritual. I believe that you have fallen into a condition of your mind for casting down, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Honey, I'm going to use you as an example. I'm going to use you as an example because she said it already this morning. As we were sitting around this morning. I'm sorry if this is personal, but I'm hoping you're going to get something out of this. She said, how many times do you find yourself doing this? She said, oh, I hope Zach, meaning casting her worry upon that situation rather than saying, oh my goodness, this is going to be the best day that Zach's ever had. He's going to be sharp. Are you guys with me out there? And how many times do you find yourself repeating carnal thoughts that the devil has planted in your head? Because why? You've been through a situation very similar to this before, and you say, I remember the last time at it. Oh, here it comes. Folks, that's speaking death. That's not speaking life. Casting down imaginations and every mighty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does God say about the situation? What does God say about Zach taking the bar? What does God say? Not what does the world say? Not what does the devil say? What does his past say? What does God say about it? What does God say about it? Because I'm going to cast down the imagination, and I'm not going to repeat what the devil's telling me. I'm going to repeat what the word tells me. Are you with me?
Boom.
And we have a really, really hard time shutting, hold your ears, our damn mouth. And saying thoughts that are not of God. Casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. when your obedience is fulfilled. So it seems to me that if you obey, you overcome disobedience. Anybody see that other than me? And I come into, it's just kind of human nature. You come around people, the old saying that hurt people hurt people. I get around people and all of a sudden they're just puking all over me. They're just puking all over me of experiences in their life. And this happened and that happened. I said, yeah, quit puking. Stop it. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I. Christ lives within me. The life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Why am I constantly praising what the enemy did to me? Somebody say amen.
Boom.
Because that's what it's the mindset. That's the mindset that we have. Casting down imaginations. An imagination? A thought? And every high thing? What would a high thing be? What would be a high thing? Jeez, am I no? What's a high thing? It must be something coming from a higher element, a higher, I don't know, a higher realm. I don't know. Where do thoughts come from? Where do they come from? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, Paul said. Huh? Where are these thoughts coming from? These imaginations, we're supposed to be casting them down. I hear people, bear with me, man. This is from the Holy Spirit, folks. I'm just telling you. I can't tell you the number of Christians that I come across who are constantly speaking damnation in their own lives, in the lives of their family, in the lives of their children, constantly, openly, with their mouth, repeating what the devil says about a situation. Somebody say amen for me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That's casting down imaginations. You hear that when the devil says, oh, he's going to fail that test. I say, oh, you damn liar. He's not going to fail that test. Spirit of God's upon him. He's fearfully and wonderfully made. You gave him that mind. You gave him the ability to think the way he has. And that's going to manifest when he takes that test. Get behind me, you lying freaking spirit. Amen?
Amen. See,
we're not mentally tough. We are not mentally and spiritually tough. We're not. We're just not. Why? Because we haven't been trained that there's victory. Wherever two or more are gathered, wherever two or more agree, where is that, Spencer? Wherever two or more agree as to touching anything, it shall be done to them. Where is that? Anybody know where that is? Wherever two or more, wherever two or more agree.
Matthew 18:20.
Thank you, Matthew 18:20. Again, the start of 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you, Betty, will you agree with me? Randy, will you agree with me? Hey, Jeff, will you agree with me? Jack, will you agree with me?
I agree with you.
Will you agree with me?
Yes.
Will you guys agree with me? Because it says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. And for where two or three are gathered together, I'm right there in the midst of them. I'm right there. So I'm agreeing with the Lord today that this struggle of our son in this wicked legal system is over in Jesus' name. He is going to pass that thing. Randy, agree with me? Brett, you agree with me? I only need two or three of you. I only need two or three of you.
I agree with you, Coach. All right, I agree.
Thank you, brother. Okay. Amen. Is this how this thing is supposed to work? Is this? And folks, we find ourselves all the time. I'm guilty of it. We go to the experts before we go to the Lord. If I get up in the morning, let's say I get up in the morning and I'm passing blood, which I'm not. If I'm passing blood, I'll guarantee you this. I'm probably going to call the doctor before I go into heavy prayer and fasting. I'm probably going to. And I'm probably going to, you know, you guys are with me. You understand what I'm saying? And so we don't understand that this spiritual war, I'll get you here in a second, Dale. We don't understand the spiritual war that's raging around about us. We don't get it. And if you're not careful, you are going to live your life operating in the flesh, meaning by what you can see, what you can hear, what you can touch. If you are operating on those three things and you are operating in a different kingdom, friends, you're in a different kingdom. And you're asking God to do something that he's already done. Healing is the children's bread. How many out there right now will say, Coach, I'm going to fast. When I fast, I'm going to pray for Jane LeBlanc, Ray LeBlanc's wife, who didn't get a great message from her doctor. But we're not going to believe that, right? Whose report shall you believe? So I want some of you out there to say, I'm going to fast today for Jane and Ray. I'm going to fast that. And I'm going to believe the Lord, that the Lord. See, look, folks. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Oh, man. Ooh, I felt that one. Oh, my, my. See, that enemy has no power until you agree with him. The devil plants a thought, and then you speak it. And then you agree with him, and you activate the plan of the wicked one that was planted in your mind. You say, oh, Coach, that's voodoo. Think so? You think so? What do you think we just read? Casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it in captivity to the obedience of Christ. What? Thoughts, imaginations, things we think, things we say, life and death, power of the tongue. Do we do that? Jesus said this kind only comes out prayer and fasting. Do you pray and fast? Do you fast and pray? Or the whole time you're fasting, are you griping and moaning about how hungry you are?
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Am I taking my fast as a weapon? I'm pounding the devil with that fast. Here, take another one. I ain't eating lunch. Boom. I ain't eating candy. Boom. What do we suffer through our fast? Not realizing you got a hold of that machine gun. Boom, 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 boom. In your fast. Want to repeat to the devil how effective he is and how strong he is. Lord says, start fasting and you get rid of that mindset. You get rid of that crazy, carnal, fleshly mindset that you have. Cast down those imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And when I was on my 40-day fast, I was sitting in church. And in the midst of people around me didn't even know I was doing it. It was unbelievable. I was on about day 10. I don't know if you've ever been 10 days without food. I don't know if you've ever done it. I did 40. Mike Blake's done several 40-day fasts. And we'll tell you something. When you get to about day 10, you no longer think about food. Oh, the first day, the second day, the third day. It's all you think about. It's all you think about. And then all of a sudden, about day 3, you don't think about it anymore. You think about food, but you're in such a power position. You say, I ain't gonna eat yet. I'm not gonna let my stomach control me. By the way, you don't get brownie points for going longer. You get brownie points through obedience. And if you're on a fast, whether it be one meal, by the way, if all you do is fast one meal, give me a break. One meal? You think that's going to give you power? You got to fast till it hurts, baby. It hurts. Think about food all the time. I went all day yesterday, not one bite of food, constantly thinking of food. Am I with me? Know what I'm talking about? Constantly thinking. Maybe I can go get a pretzel. Maybe I can go get a pretzel and put some I'll put some mustard on it, a little bit of cheese, maybe just one. Hey, I'll go have some pistachios. I love pistachios. And wouldn't you know it, Michelle makes me go to Sam's Club yesterday. And I'm walking through Sam's Club, and there's the great pizzas they have. And I got up this morning, and I don't need any food. Why? Because it's supernatural strength that's coming now. I hope you don't think I'm bragging about me. I'm trying to coach you. I'm trying to walk you through something to understand that you have to break the resistance. You have to break the, look, only thing the devil can do, the only thing that the devil can do is tempt you. That's all he can do. That's all he can do. He can, all he can do is tempt you to do something contrary to what the Lord would have you to do. That's all he can do, is just to knock you off the path that you're supposed to be on. Just knock you off of that path. That's all he has to do. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. I'm going to open it up here in a second. I got to make sure I've said everything that I want to say. Let me look here real quick. Pull this up for me. Yeah, Spencer. Pull up number three. Hey, folks. Stephanie, you out there? I know you are. Some of you others out there. John Loveland, you out there? See, John Loveland, and Stephanie, and some others. I'm looking to see who's in here. They know the dark side is real. They've been there. They've operated in it. They understand the power. And I'm going to tell you something. You can go to church 52 weeks in a year, and you won't hear a damn thing about it from your pulpit. Somebody say amen. Just, I know I got a friend out there. Oh, you're mad. I said damn.
Amen, brother.
Huh?
Amen.
And we're fighting a spiritual war in a natural realm, and the church doesn't even teach us this stuff. Well, first of all, it's not the church's fault. We're supposed to do it ourselves. But we have no understanding. We have no understanding of the spiritual realm. So I came across this yesterday. Ex-Satanist reveals how prayer protects us from spiritual attacks. Go ahead and play that.
It was because you were actually involved in this cult, mm-hmm. in attacking Christians, weren't you?
So I was a channeler. I talked to the demons, and they relayed messages to the rest of the cult through me, and we started attacking just Christians. We had names, addresses, workplaces, and that's what we did. We just harassed Christians. In the spirit, I would see like a dome, like a blue dome over groups of Christians that were praying, or just through all those experiences, I connected that we could not attack Christians as they were actively praying protection from God. Like, there was a no-go zone. Just no, absolutely no power. So I love it now. Like yes, thank you, God. But back then, it made me very angry. It made the demons very angry. And so at that point, that made me curious, how is this possible? How can Christians have this power to just nullify the demonics completely? It's perfect protection. Nothing can get through. It was.
Wow. They believe it. The dark side sure believes in the spiritual realm. Why don't we? Why don't we? So, look, here's what we're doing. Spencer's on top of the job. He and Jared, they're always on top. They're going to set up an email address called prayer@coachdavelive.com. We don't have it yet, but we're going to set it up where we can constantly be in contact with people who need prayer. Now, hang on. Some of you need to put on your big boy pants. And don't be bombarding us every morning with a different prayer request, or we will never get through them. You have to learn on your own to take power and authority over the situation you find yourself in. Sometimes you just got to say no. Nancy Reagan was right. Just say no. If you're having trouble with pornography, just say no to the computer. Just say no. If you're having trouble with your weight, just say no to food. Just say no. We have to do that. So we're getting this set up. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring Laura Ann in. I'm going to bring Dale in. And Laura Ann, I'm going to have you pray for our son, Zach, that he's going to pass that. And by the way, another one too. These are selfish. These are me. Our son-in-law, Morgan, lives at the top of the hill, owned three Jimmy Johns, sold Jimmy Johns, been in flight training to be a pilot. He was scheduled for his one of his final tests last week and couldn't hardly get out of bed, sick, thrown up, both ends, couldn't do it, had to cancel it, and hadn't been able to get it. And wouldn't you know it, that today, I think I'm right, or tomorrow maybe it is, Morgan, the same time that Zach is taking his test to be an attorney, Morgan is taking his flight test the exact same time. Now, you can call that a coincidence if you want to. And I would just ask if tomorrow, thank you, honey, tomorrow Morgan flies. Tomorrow, see, Zach's test is today and tomorrow, and Morgan's flight test is tomorrow. So I would just ask those of you out there that you would intercede on behalf of Zach and Morgan and what the plan of the Lord is for their lives. The devil, the enemy, just wants to screw everything up. He just wants to screw everything up. And that's what prayer is all about. So, Dale, come on in. Dale?
Yeah, real quick, Coach. Spence, if you could pull up Mark chapter, I think it's 11. Yeah, Mark 11, 23. This right here, Coach, this has been the pattern of our prayer. Actually, it's been the opposite of our prayer. It says, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Coach, what we normally do, we go to God and complain and moan about our mountains in our life. And we need to do, Coach, we need to go to our mountains in our life and tell our mountains. He says, if you say unto the mountains, doesn't say, come tell me about your mountains. It says, go tell your mountains about me. And then go, I will pluck those things up and I will remove them out of your way. Coach, that's what we do. You got a problem with porn? Tell porn about Jesus. Amen. You got a problem with eating? Tell eating about Jesus. Don't tell God, oh God, I can't stop eating. No, tell your belly about Jesus.
Amen,
Coach,
baby.
This is where we've missed it right here. We are so constantly going to God and moaning and complaining. God already knows about your mountains. He says, will you go tell your mountains about me?
Amen, Dale. Huh? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, the cast of the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Quit praying doubt in your prayers. Stop speaking doubt in your prayers. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall receive. Not might, not maybe, maybe over a period of time. No, he shall receive. Huh? Them, and you shall have them. And when, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anybody, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespass. Forgive, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you yours. Seems pretty conditional to me, right? Pretty conditional to me. Excuse me. Frog, I got to tell you this. Man, folks, I would say I love you all, but I did what some guy told me. I love you in the Lord, meaning he didn't really love me, but he had to. So I love you in the Lord. I want you to start checking. Holy Spirit, I want you to touch them and help them to begin hearing the words coming out of their own mouth, Lord. The doubt that they are speaking out of their mouth. And you told us, Lord, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. You said that. I didn't say it. We're not name it or claim it, Lord, but we are giving no more credit to the devil. We're going to take captive every thought that exalts itself against what you said. You said, blessed going in and blessed going out. You said, where two or more are gathered, you're right in the midst. Lord, I believe in that. In Jesus' name. Problem in God, problems us. And the name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, all that stuff. Because why? See, you look, you're asking for it out of the wrong heart. You're asking for it out of the wrong heart. Name it, claim it, prosperity gospel. How about this? All of you out there praying that prosperity gospel. Why don't you do this? Say, Lord, bless me with $1 million. Oh, Lord, bless me with $1 million. And then give it to Coach Dave. Oh, you ain't going to do that, are you? No. It's like somebody told me. God would get more money into your hand if you could get more money out of it. I'm not asking for money. I'm trying to give you a point. When money flows into your life and you don't give it out, you build a dam. Oh, Betty, is that ever good? Some of you guys wonder why you have financial problems. You build a dam. The seed came in and it never came fruit. It never became fruit. You kept it in the cupboard, stored it in the cupboard. And that's partially name it, claim it, but that, boys and girls, is the truth. And ask yourself this, what are you planting with your own lips? Life and death in the power of the tongue. Boy, I don't know how we got on this today, but it's good. Laura Ann, come on in. She's gone. She got lost. Kevin, or John Lovin, come on in, John.
I'm here. I know, I'm here.
Okay, Laura Ann, go ahead.
Okay, no, I've been doing, I hit a different button. I apologize. I've been doing a prayer and fast from fear with thanksgiving and praise. Because we're not praising the Lord, and the Lord called us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise.
We're worshiping fear.
We're worshiping fear, and we're not taking up the word of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, who is the living word, and using it. And that's part of our armor. It's to take up the word and the sword of the spirit and start casting down strongholds. So in the mighty name of Jesus, that's what we're going to do, because we're entering your gates, Lord God, with thanksgiving and praise, because you are God. You are the light. You are the light in the hill. If anything that you proved, you shut down Paris. You made it dark. You were the light on the hill. There was a church that was lit up in the middle of the night and before all the nations, Lord God, and you showed them here on earth that you are God and you are still in control. You are the light of hope. You are the light of all that we need. You are the light. You are the one who sent whose son went to the cross. And the gospel is that he took our sins and he was still alive, took care of, dealt with hell. His blood covered our sins. He paid for them by your mercy, your grace, but because of your love to protect us from what the enemy has against us. And you know exactly what it is. So Almighty God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you together because we are called by you to bear one another's burdens. Not just to say, oh, okay, not to blatantly just blow it off, but we know how real the enemy's camp is. But you're the living God. They are a created being. They are jealous of us. Because we are your kids and we get to come running into the throne room and the living room of heaven and saying, Daddy, 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 help us. Daddy, 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 we love you. Daddy, 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 look at me. Look at me, Daddy. And we get to look into his eyes and they can't. So thank you, God, that we can do that. And on behalf of a mom and dad who are asking for prayer for their sons, for Zach and for Morgan, as Zach takes that bar, Almighty God, who is wisdom, may your wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen him, power him, embrace him for the next 2 days that will equip, anoint, and appoint him to love mercy, seek justice, and walk humbly with you, his God. Lord God, as he takes this test, because you have appointed this time and what you have sent out and what you have appointed, nobody can snatch from his hands. Nobody, because you called him to do this, to be an advocate for you on earth as it is in heaven. And that Morgan is going to fly and he's going to soar and he's going to soar on wings of hope as he takes that test. He's going to do so amazing because you appointed this time, because now's the time that they are going to take flight. Now is the time when they will walk. Now is the appointed time. because you gave it to them. And Lord God, I ask you that you bless their mom and their dad, and that you give them comfort. You bless their family with the peace that surpasses all knowledge and understanding, that guards their hearts and minds, because they can do all things because of Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, and he's coming now and is now, and he's going to be with them, and that your wisdom and the Holy Spirit, you are the truth. You are the truth. So as they're taking their exams today, Lord God, long-awaited exams today and tomorrow, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, bring your comfort, your wisdom, and your knowledge of taking how, that wisdom and how to apply it, because he studied, he's shown himself approved before you, because he wants to be a man for you and an advocate for you. So Lord God, we thank you for this praise report, that he will have passed it, he will have done well, and he will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord God, for all the other prayer requests that are in this queue that have not been able to have been shared, and the people that are going to be listening, know this, there is a God in heaven who loves you, who lives to intercede on our behalf, because he is the God who laid his life down for you to protect you from the enemy's camp. So underneath the shadow of your wings, of the Almighty God, we find our refuge, and we declare and decree it today in Psalm 91, which is your word. 10,000 can go to the left, they can go to the right. We will not dash our foot on a stone, because Father God, you set your angels charge. We thank you for ministering to Zach right now as he's preparing, that you're calming his mind, that those angels are just encouraging him, uplifting him, ministering to him, and making him laugh as well. And that when they're done and they celebrate this, they will know that they will be celebrating on earth as it is in heaven. Because Jesus Christ, you are the bread of life. And we thank you, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread, who is Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you forgive us of our sins. Help us to forgive those who trespass against us. And protect us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory is for you, now and forever. To the Almighty God, who is worthy, we will overcome. And we do overcome by the word of the Lamb, and by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. And the word is Jesus Christ. And King Jesus, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And there's no name that is higher than yours. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And Lord, we pray right now, we would just intercede, Lord, that justice would flow down like a mighty river, the sentencing of those in Tennessee today, Lord. We just pray that you'll be merciful to them, Lord, and that you will, Lord Jesus, you'll just intercede on their behalf. And Lord, we pray for Ray and Jane. We pray for a good report from the doctor, but even that, Lord, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord, that Jane is healed in Jesus' name. And Father, I even know right now that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people right now who have petitions before you, Father. Now, Father, I just pray that you would answer them according to their faith. That's what you said. It would be done to them according to their faith, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on in, John. Thanks, Lauren.
Amen, amen, amen. Coach, I could say a lot here, but I just want to go back to what you were, the verse you brought out in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That word imaginations, is, and I may butch this, the description of it in the Greek, it's a logos mos, I think is how you say it. And one of the definitions for that is a reasoning such as is hostile to the Christian faith. And in saying that, when I'm working with someone else or I'm dealing with something myself, I know that it's always a war over truth. It's a belief system that has erected itself against the truth and the knowledge of Christ. Right? Paul said he considered it all dung, but to know Christ and know the power of Christ. And he said that power resides in us.
It's a thought war, isn't it, John? It's a thought war.
It is every single time. And now Jesus gave us the greatest example of how. You said this earlier. You said it's simple, and it is. It's supposed to be simple. We've made it difficult. He gave us the example of how to do warfare, and it's speaking the truth when the enemy comes with a lie, right? That's what he did when he was tempted in the 40 days. And it's always a war over truth. Now, I'm going to share this one story, and I share it with reservation because some people are going to say that didn't happen. It's not true. And I don't say it out of a boastful spirit, but I just want you to see how when you speak the word of God is, like he said in Hebrews chapter 4, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, right?
Amen.
And so I had ordered there was a Bible that was no longer in publication. And I used to give them out a lot, and then I stopped giving them out, and I couldn't find them. They're not in publication anymore, but I found them through a third party on Amazon. And they came from three different vendors. So the first two I received, I gave them out. And so I was waiting for the last one, and it was like 3-4 weeks before it came. And you know how when you get that cardboard zipper package from Amazon? Well, yeah. as soon as I pulled that zipper open, I have a cathedral ceiling in my kitchen. This demon emerged in front of me. Now, thank God, when I see in the spiritual realm, which I don't see all the time, I only see shadows. I don't see detail. Because if I did, I'd probably run to the hills. But anyway, I saw the shadow of this thing. It was 12 feet high at least. I threw the package on the table and I turned away, and then I got indignant. I turned back and I pointed my finger as high as I could in the face of this thing. And I said, my enemy comes to me one way, but he flees seven. That thing fell to the ground and scattered in 100 different pieces in different directions. And then I said, okay, Lord, we got to talk. What the heck was that? And this is what he said to me. He said, that Bible was in the hands of an occult practitioner. And he said, that occult practitioner put that in the Bible. I sent it to you because I knew you would know what to do with it. Oh. Now, I don't say that in any boastful way, Coach. I say that humbly. But my point is this. This is the point. When you're dealing with the demonic, it's easy, but it's a war over truth, and it's over the lie to truth. He has to. Absolutely.
Amen. The truth cancels the lie. Wow. Amen, John. Amen. You broke up a little bit there at the end, man. Craig, quickly. Craig and then Jeff.
Well, Coach, we want to understand everything instead of believe it.
Yeah.
Why don't we just believe it and then do it in the name of Jesus? And remember when Jesus presented himself to his hometown, Nazareth, what he said is he couldn't perform many miracles there because there's no faith. That Jesus couldn't perform the miracles. That's not the problem. There was no faith for him to allow the miracles to manifest. That was the people's part. God's a covenant part. God's willing. Is your faith willing to take that miracle?
You're willing to obey. That's what it is. Amen. Quickly, Jeff.
Coach, just a quick question. Do you know anything about the event Buckeye Lake is Saturday for Pastor Bill?
Oh, daggone. Yeah, I'll cover it tomorrow. Yes, folks, if you're in the Buckeye Lake area, they're having a fundraiser. And I'm out of time here, man. I'll get to you tomorrow. If you're in the Buckeye Lake area, put it on your calendar Saturday, and I'll get back to you with more information tomorrow. Jack, gone it, Jeff. I just got rolling this morning, huh? Got rolling. A lot going on, baby. A lot going on. Casting down imaginations. Every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into obedience to the word of God. Man, oh, man. Thanks for the prayers today. We're going to see it manifest. God's going to move. Believe it in my heart. Confess it with my mouth. It'll be done. God bless you. See you tomorrow.